Hello, everyone, and welcome back into the Rebel Room. This is week three of the UNLV football season. The Rebels head down to Arizona State this weekend, the number 15 Sun Devils, that is. They head down there 1-1 on the heels of a 42-21 loss last weekend in Salt Lake City. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We'll look ahead to this weekend's tilt and what's on the horizon after this weekend's trip to Tempe for the Rebels. I am Ryan Green. I'm joined by Alex Adianju.
Hi.
Hot mic.
Hi.
There you go. And Andy Samuelson, all of us with the Las Vegas Sun. Sorry, Andy.
Hey, great. Green life is swell. It couldn't be better, you know. I only lost every bet the first two weekends. Had Tom Brady in my fantasy team. I lost all four of my fantasy teams. And then, you know, on top of it off, I lost my rec league basketball game 4-on-5 yet again. You know, life's going pretty good for me.
Keep in mind it's Thursday and he's still holding the grudge over last week.
You are struggling these past couple of weeks, Buff.
You just can't get over it.
But it's always sunny on the next weekend. I did pull out my first victory. It only took a fantasy prop on Adrian Peterson to pull that out. I'm happy
maybe,
and I'm back.
Maybe that's the start of something special.
That's what I'm thinking. Brandon Webb, I need you tomorrow. P.S.
We should leave it up to the listeners out there to decide who the degenerate gambler is out of the three of us.
Well, judging by what Andy just said for 45 seconds, it's not me or Green.
Hey, sorry, AJ. We're going to have to put that coat on layaway this fall.
AJ is your son, right?
Back home, that's right.
Your mythical son. Well, nobody cares about your son.
That's true.
That does not exist.
If they're listening, they care about UNLV football, we think. So that's what we're going to be talking about here today. And like we said, let's go back to last weekend's game, UNLV at Utah, 42-21 loss. And Alex, the title of your video at LasVegasSun.com, I think, couldn't have said it any better, tale of two halves. It's truly what it was.
That's the thing. I mean, first half, they looked like a really good football team, and then second half, just the wheels just fell off pretty much. I mean, everything that could go wrong went wrong for UNLV. Everything that could go great for Utah went great, and that's why they got outscored 28-7, and they lost 42-21.
I like your literary reference there. Tale of two cities. Man, that's impressive.
I'm thinking, dog. You think your boy's just not smart? That's why we got a college education, Ohio University. Class of 05. Word.
Anyway. Yeah. Now, going a little bit deeper in it, too, is specifically late in that first half, it was pretty obvious things were about to turn for the Rebels. They had Utah stopped on third, and I want to say it was 5 or 6. Utah was deep in their own territory. They stopped him on third down, get called for a horse collar. It was against Rusty Worthen, who was filling in for the then-injured Ronnie Paulo. And, you know, at that point, the drive keeps going. Then Utah fumbles at midfield. It's overruled, or the call is changed. The drive keeps going. Utah scores right before the half to tie things up. And, do you agree there was kind of a creepy feeling at that point in the stadium that – it wasn't going to be the same game in the second half.
Once all those things went in Utah's favor, you know something was going to up. And now that it was tied at halftime, if UNLV was up at halftime, I think it would be a totally different story. They would have all the confidence in the world. Utah would probably be rethinking about what they were doing. Since it was tied, it was wiped the slate clean. The crowd got back into the game, and you saw what happened in the second half.
Yeah, in the second, I didn't get to watch the entire game, but, you know, you look at the first half, Summers goes for 80 yards. Second half, he only gets 5 carries, 5 yards. That really, you know, they're not controlling the clock. They're not controlling the ball. And that was the key last year in their big win, is Summers was such a tank in that game. Get it? Tank? Yeah.
Yeah, keep going.
Impressive.
No, and, you know, even inside that, he had 40 yards on the first drive off 6 carries. And then, you know, for whatever reason, they kind of went away from him. And by the time they went back, things just – it really wasn't – the running game wasn't there anymore. I guess they didn't keep striking while the iron was hot, or Utah just made some incredible adjustments.
That's the thing. It all happened so fast in the second half. I mean, they went from tied to 31-14 just like that. It was ridiculous. And I think UNLV was kind of like Chuck Liddell on UFC 88. They just got knocked the blank out by Rashard Lewis, and that was it.
Well, Rashard Lewis plays basketball, but Rashad Evans knocked him out.
Rashard Lewis is also – he's a good fighter. You haven't seen the YouTube videos?
No.
Neither have I. I just made that up.
It was good.
It was a good attempt.
Let me ask you this, though. How, you know, is it a thing where, okay, they gave up 35 straight points, and that was last week? Or is this something that's so deflating, you know, it comes back to the mindset of, oh, man, here we go again. We're going to start, you know, does it start pulling at you at the seams, and the team starts falling apart because of that one one half, really.
You see, I don't know if I could say that right now, because there was a little bit of a glimmer at the end of that game. They, you know, Omar Clayton kept going at it, and they strung together a really nice drive late in the game to cover the spread, but two, I guess showed some signs of life. And Mike Sanford and a couple of the veteran players after the game were quick to point out that, you know, 2 years ago that's probably not the case. You know, 2 years ago this probably doesn't end 42-14. It probably rotates into 56, or it doesn't end 42-21. It probably rotates into 56-14. And, you know, they didn't let things spin completely out of control. And I think that's pretty big, especially when you've got on the horizon what they do have coming up this weekend.
I mean, and when you talk to the players after the game, they kind of sounded a little pissed that they let this one go. I mean, they felt like they could have easily had this victory if things would have went well. And they sounded mad, and then you talk to them this week, and they sound like they've corrected all those issues they've had in the second half against Utah. So we'll see what happens in a big game against Arizona State.
Yeah, and you're right. There wasn't that, oh, here we go again, and you know, the throwing in the towel. And you could definitely sense that from the words of the players after the game. And we've mentioned Arizona State, so let's move on to it. 1-1, UNLV heads down to face number 15, Arizona State. 2-0 on the season, a couple of semi-impressive victories. I guess a big note here is that Arizona State, on the horizon, they've got number 2 Georgia coming down to the desert next week. So I guess the first angle we attack here, is this an Ohio State, Ohio Bobcat, I guess, clone, where, you know, maybe they save some things up, maybe they are looking ahead. As much as they want to say it's not an issue, you got to talk about it.
See, I don't know if it'll be such a big deal just because Dennis Erickson has been around the game for so long. He's had so many big games, and he's played a week before the big game, that you would think he would know how to have his players get up for this game and still have something left in the tank for next week. That's my opinion. I don't know if maybe it's changed and they really want Utah. I mean, you were saying on All In, 5:30 on Vegas TV tonight, that the fans were holding up get ready for Georgia signs last week. So The fans are thinking about it. The question is, will the players think about it coming up on Saturday night?
I mean, it has to be natural that you got to look at it. I mean, come on. UNLV's won 2 games the last 4 years. Yeah. You're going to look ahead a little bit. Whether that really factors into the game, I'm kind of skeptical too. If you're betting on that line, which, hey, I don't know if I will be or not. I think a lot of those points you make come into, you know, it depends if, what is it, Keegan
Herring, yeah.
If he plays, how much they play maybe Rudy in the second half, they might decide to take him out and save him up for Georgia. You know, maybe if they get an early lead, it's going to be really – I don't think that UNLV has a legitimate chance to go in there and win, but stranger things have happened. I was at Sun Devil Stadium last year and saw a loss there, but that was a little different team. That was USC, so –
If I may say so myself, anytime I play NCAA 09, I never look ahead of my schedule. I take it one game at a time and just beat everybody.
Wow. I actually look ahead for that Heisman.
Really?
In fact, I just gave my whole season to winning that award.
Wow. Number a stat patter.
Team player over there.
Yeah. Anyways, Arizona State.
Woo! But no, you know, you mentioned Keegan Herring, and that's going to be a big name. He had, you know, he sat out the first game with a hamstring injury, came back last week against Stanford, a 41-17 Sun Devil win. Had 12 carries, 59 yards, and a score, but at the end of that game, tweaked the hamstring again, which, I mean, I know none of us claim to be any kind of expert, but, I mean, you would have to think, with Georgia on the horizon, the chances are he's not going
to
play.
And if we're trying to compare this to Ohio State, Ohio from last week, I mean, Beanie Wells sat out the game after he hurt his foot, and you saw what happened to the Buckeyes running game against the vaunted Ohio Bobcat defense. So to say anything is not impossible with UNLV, you never know.
Where did you go to school again, Alex?
OHIO, the Green and White, the MAC conference champions from 2006.
So maybe he's a little.
Wells isn't playing this week either.
Maybe so he's a little
jaded. He's playing this week.
No, they said today it looks doubtful.
Really?
Kind of makes that USC game a little more interesting.
Mm-hmm. Take the Trojans.
It's kind of rare that Arizona State and UNLV have never met before in football, being, you know, 4 hours
so
away.
So close, yeah. Well, I guess while we were hitting that Keegan Herring line, I mean, on the flip side, they have a backup, Dimitri Nance, who's been somewhat impressive behind him. And Dennis Thorell, the UNLV defensive coordinator, said it's not like there's a huge drop-off. But, I mean, there's got to be one.
There's a reason why he's starting and the other guy's backing up pretty much.
And then, you know, they're also going to be without.
Come on, he's a 10th all-time leading rusher in school history.
Yeah, there's a reason he's playing. And there's also a starting middle linebacker, Gerald Munns, who has been playing with a broken pinky this year. Last week was the Pac-10 Defensive Player of the Week, is not going to play this game. So we were talking on All In yesterday. There's a couple of little cracks there.
5:30 on Vegas TV today.
Channel 14 for all you.
For those who don't have cable box, it's channel 25.
Right before the Simpsons, is that right?
LasVegasSun.com/All In.
And we know you like the Simpsons.
You love the Simpsons.
Not OJ, but you know. Oh, wait, that's going on too. So, you know, just make it a night.
What's
your OJ coverage? Watch the Simpsons and
what's
watch
all
in.
What's
before.
All In on in between again?
KLAS TV and I think the Simpsons.
Man.
KLAS comes in at 5 o'clock. Simpsons come in at 6 o'clock.
Talk about that younger demographic, huh?
That's how we roll.
All the kids like me that came home from school in high school and watched the Simpsons for 3 hours.
Yeah, man. I played video games. Nintendo. Tetris. Dominated.
I thought you played football.
Well, I played football. I thought we were talking about when we were little
Poser.
Kids.
Have we exposed a lie?
No. Dude, we can go look at the stats right now online.
JT O'Sullivan
no
in the
no
house.
No, thanks. Let's get back to the relevance, I guess, of Arizona State. We've kind of hit it here. None of us, I don't think, are expecting UNLV to go down there and pull off a win. But what do you guys see as a realistic expectation here?
Man, honestly, I would have to say, look at what Arizona State did to Stanford last week, 41-17, correct? And you'd have to think that Stanford's probably a little better team than UNLV. I just don't see how it's going to be much different unless, you know, they do some things in the second half, you know, pull some players. I mean, I think that's going to be a pretty good gauge right there.
I mean, you never want to go into a game expecting to lose. But if I'm UNLV, I want to get some sort of positive out. I mean, I think they have to work on their deep threat passing game. Mm-hmm. They haven't really shown that in these first two games.
Good point.
They have to establish Frank Summers on the ball. And this is all leading up for the Mountain West Conference coming up in Iowa State and Reno in these next 2 weeks. So I think you gotta work on that passing game. Defense has to get shored up. The secondary has not been the best it has been. I mean, Pointer's been hurt. He's back now. And safeties are hurt. And everyone's, you know, they're trying to do something. But they just got to shore up the little things and look forward to the next upcoming weeks.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, they've lost 21 out of 22. They're 0-7 against ranked teams. Focus on what you can change. I mean, you never want to say it, like he's saying, but we can be honest here. Play for something for the next couple weeks. Build on something for Iowa State is really what they're going
to
be trying to do.
And I think it's big, too, that you know they had last week a nationally ranked opponent. They have a nationally ranked opponent this week. But then, you know, you have two very winnable home games in the next 2 weeks against Iowa State and then against Reno. I think a big key's got to be to get healthy or stay healthy, too. I mean, last week, losing star Fuimaono, Fuimaono.
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 Oh,
not Maiono.
Fuimaono.
Not your Ono. Or Maiono.
Maiono. Hey, whoa.
Star Fuimaono and Ronnie Paulo on nearly back-to-back plays. You know, you never like to see injuries like that, and Fuimaono's out for the year. But there is a silver lining there in the sense that it woke up some of those backups. And Mike Sanford talked about this earlier in the week saying, you know, sometimes when you're a number two or a number three, you get that complacent with that sense of, well, I'm a backup. I'm probably not going to play, you know, whatever. But I think that was a good wake-up call, and it was good to have it in week two. You know, there's going to be a couple guys this week who are playing who maybe people didn't expect to play this early. Nate Carter, freshman linebacker, being one of them. He's going to be in Star's old spot. I mean, there's definitely some things that can be done this week as far as getting him some experience and hopefully staying healthy.
It'll be interesting as well to see how the crowd affects UNLV. I mean, the crowd probably won't be as loud this week since they got Georgia next week. They probably won't be as many fans as there will be next week, but it'll still be 50 to 60,000, a lot of them students. And how will that affect UNLV after what happened in the second half last week where there was penalties galore with the crowd affecting them?
And a crowd that got progressively louder as the game went, too.
Yeah, again, my only judge is, you know, it was packed when I was there and it was really rowdy, but then again, that's USC.
That's USC.
I'd say,
and that's
how
it'll be next week.
Yeah, it will be for the first half. I mean, I'm sure everyone will be partying in Tempe going into that second half next week. It's a pretty
why'd
fun town.
Why'd you look over at me when you said partying in Tempe?
You guys should go. You're going up there Friday night. There's a piano bar. It's a pretty cool place.
We'll see. I'm focused on UNLV Arizona State 100% right now. That's all I'm saying.
We're so focused.
So focused.
Why are you lying to the audience?
Dude, I'm focused.
So focused.
Okay, audience, I'm going to keep it real. I would be not focused.
well, let's
But Tempe's a fun town. It's a lot like, you know, it's a bigger town. Me and Ryan Green relate a lot to Lawrence. It's a lot bigger than Lawrence. But it's a cool town. You got the mountain out there by the stadium. It's cool. Cool backdrop.
Well, things could wind up ugly for the Rebels if they sit there and admire that a little too long. But I assume they're not going to. With that said, let's get to some predictions for this weekend. And as we started last week, we're picking with the spread. I mean, this being Las Vegas, it only really makes sense. So who wants to get us started?
I'll go first. I'm taking UNLV plus the 22.5. I see it 48-28, Arizona State. The offense of UNLV keeps improving week after week, but, I mean, Arizona State just has so many weapons on offense that it's going to be tough, especially with Rudy Carpenter, one of the top quarterbacks not only in the Pac-10 but in the nation. Just picking apart that UNLV secondary and 48-28 Sun Devils.
And the thing about him is he got sacked about 60 times last year, and he's only been sacked a couple times, three times, I think, in the first 2 weeks. He's been releasing the ball quick. I mean, you know, he's going to spread around. That number's so close. I think it could be a 21-point game. I'd really like it if it was under 21.5 to bet on. I'll probably stay away from it, but I could see something like 45-17, 45-21.
I was going to say about 34-21. I'm going to go with Arizona State, but you know what? For as much as people want to downplay that whole look ahead, you know, theory, I do believe it's real. I believe it's there, and I believe that it's going to factor into this game in a couple ways. I think, you know, like we said, if ASU gets up big late, Rudy Carpenter probably sits, and maybe that gives UNLV a chance to, you know, hold on to the ball a little longer, get some things going, build some confidence for that defense. And I also doubt Keegan Herring's going to play. We already know Phillip Munns is out on the other side. I think it's closer than people think, but, I mean, they're ranked number 15 in the country for a reason.
That's why they play the games.
Andy. True that. Stranger things can happen.
Well, now, Andy, you were thrown a little bit for a loop last week when we dropped the bomb on you.
I'd say I got jack moved, but that was just me.
All right. Well, how would you like to bounce?
Got
back
ran over with a car a couple
of
times.
Yeah, dude. I didn't see. You know, I thought the light was green, but it was like maybe yellow, and I just, you know.
Well, for those of you who weren't tuned in yet, we tried to rehash a moment from a segment from the podcast back in Lawrence.
This podcast.
The Spodcasters, known as Andy's Lesson for the Kids. Each week, he spits some knowledge for the youths listening, because we know there are some, and maybe we shouldn't be talking about gambling as much. But
hey, if you're over 21, do it. If not, don't do it. It's that simple.
Andy.
Wow. And there were so many youths who had a chance back in Kansas. I really believed in those kids. But out here, I think, you know, with all the gambling and stuff, everyone's just, you know.
Corrupt.
The water's not even going to last. I mean, we're all just doomed. So let's not make this about the kids. I think we should call this segment Gems of Vegas or something. Kind of like along the coin book. I'm gonna take you in maybe a place that you might not know that
oh,
we've
boy.
Visited.
I know where this is going to go.
And let's just, you know where it's going week
so,
one.
So we're
going to
go. So we're gonna go with a Gem of Vegas each week is what you're saying.
Yeah, and we can all participate in this because, you know, a lot of people are just moving to this town. There's 5,000 people every month. Maybe we can let them in on a fun place that, you know, is kind of off the beaten path. I mean, everyone knows where Caesar's Palace and the Bellagio is at. Let's take them elsewhere.
Take them off the strip for week one, I take it.
Yeah, we're going to go way off the strip, but we're going to keep it in a casino setting. I got to go to my home base here. Fiesta.
Now, what makes
Floyd
the Fiesta?
Mayweather Jr. of casinos. Pound for pound, the champ.
Now give us some
wow.
specs that make it.
You just called the Fiesta the Floyd Mayweather of casinos.
Now, let me tell you why. Hey, I'm not going to lie to you. The carpet's not the best. Carpet's a little too Fiesta-ish. But you go dollar beers. Dollar beers at a Vegas casino. Yeah, there's a few more. Most of them are on Boulder Highway.
You
got
to be 21 to drink.
There.
Be 21 to drink.
And gamble.
And gamble.
That's next. The sports book. A nice sports book. Tons of TVs. Dollar beers right there. You could just spend a day watching all the games. Seriously, I've done it. Next up, $3 blackjack. Hey, I'm sorry. They bump it up on the weekends to $5. $3 craps on the weeknights.
I'm just still shocked he called it the Floyd Mayweather of casinos.
And that's what we're going to – and now I'm about to knock you out with that punch. $5.99 steak and eggs.
Oh, wow.
At least 3 out of 4 times, that's the
It's horrible. Order. At least 3 out of 4 times, it's horrible.
It is great.
No.
All right, so now for those moving to Las Vegas, like you said, $5,000 each month, or those who have had the common sense to not even find out where the Fiesta is.
Wow.
Or who's gone and will never go again.
Give some directions, the location here, and
okay, well,
best time to go.
Best time to go anytime. It's not
because
really,
there's nobody there, so you can go anytime.
No, that's not true. It's a locals joint. It's a nice place. You know, the sports bag actually gets a lot of action. It's a station's casino. But, you know, 3 miles past Green Valley, you know, take that luxury and go a little south. Actually, might be more than that.
You know, I can't wait until next week when you actually have to stretch for your Gems of Vegas.
I've got so many of these planned out.
Great.
My Gem of Vegas this week is to sit down on your TV at 5:30, turn to Vegas TV, Channel 14, and watch All In, the Vegas sports scene.
I'm going to be a company man and go the same route there.
Hey, Fiesta, we're looking for sponsorship. I'll hook you up.
Any final comments, gentlemen?
I don't want to be sponsored by the Fiesta. No disrespect to the Fiesta, but I'm just saying your boys not want to be sponsored by the Fiesta.
Oh, I forgot.
I love the Fiesta. It's the greatest casino in the whole time. We love you.
All right, well, any final comments before we bounce out this week, gentlemen?
No, I got nothing.
I really think it's just a learning game for UNLV. I mean, if they can take something positive out of this, that's a great start.
It's really as simple as that. I agree. And they got to be healthy for the next couple weeks when they come back home and have a couple winnable games.
Fiesta, Fiesta.
Perfect. Well,
All In, 5:30 Vegas TV on Thursdays.
Channel 14 on your cable box, 25 if you don't got it. For Alex Adianju, Andy Samuelson, I'm Ryan Green. We will talk to you next week in the Rebel Room. Take care.